Set. Are you thankful that our God reigns? Let's give him a hand of praise. We thank you, God. God, you reign in this place, God. You reign on the earth. God, what my favorite part of that song is the beginning part. God, I won't be overwhelmed. I look to you. You know, in my house, the name that is said the most is mommy or mom, depending on which kid it is. Especially my three-year-old, she has a hard time saying some sounds, but there's one word that she says perfectly, and that's mommy. Doesn't matter where she's at in the house, if she's stuck, if she needs me to get something, whatever it is, she's going to stop where she is, and she's going to call for mommy. Or if something good happens, she's going to run to me and tell me, mommy, mommy, look at this. And I was thinking the last few days, like, what if God's name was on the tip of my tongue just like that? You know, something was going on. That was my first response. God, help me. If that was it, or if something good was going on in my life, what if that was if I was as quick to call on God instead of complaining about what was going on? If I was as quick to call on God as my daughter is quick to call for me? You know, things are not easy right now for a lot of people. My favorite picture of God in the Bible is about him being our rock, like the song sings. He's our refuge. You know, I've heard several times this week people talking about, I just don't know what we're going to do. I just don't know what we're going to do. Someone was talking about gas prices. I just don't know what we're going to do. Talking about food prices, the price of potatoes in the store. And they were telling my aunt in the grocery store, I just don't know what we're going to do. But I know what we're going to do. We're going to call on God. He's our refuge. He's our strength. In the Bible, in Psalms, chapter number 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fail. She will help her at the break of the day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. Sounds familiar. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. If you skip down a few verses, it says, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Are you thankful that's the God that we serve? He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is an ever-present help in trouble. Whatever is going on in your life today, maybe you have some fear that the enemy has put in your heart about prices of things, or maybe it's somebody in your family, or maybe it's a job situation, whatever it is. Maybe you've done all that you know to do, but it's time. Let him be your refuge. Call on his name just as quick as a child calls on their parents' name. Nothing else will do. God, we thank you. God, I bring to you all the needs represented in this house, God. May it be financial needs. May it be needs in their family. May it be provision. May it be a job. Whatever it is, we speak to those situations in the name of Jesus, God. I pray peace over each individual here. Peace over their heart. Peace over their home. Peace over their situation. I pray that you would open doors that only you can open. Make provision like only you can make provision, God. And I pray that I come against fear. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for your peace, Father, that we are your people and we walk in boldness and we walk in faith. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's give God one more hand of praise. Thank you, God. You may be seated. We're so glad that you are with us in the house of the Lord today. At the end of the service, we would love to meet you and get to know you if you are a first-time guest. At this time, if you will make your way for the offering, we have offering buckets at the front of the church. Well, we are so thankful for all of the many volunteers that come together to make what happens every Sunday morning, every Wednesday, every day behind the scenes to prepare for those days. I know with the Carpenter's Kids team, we have about 30 people that rotate around to make it happen on Sundays. And we're just so thankful for them. Can we give all of our volunteers that will help in any capacity at church a hand of praise? About 6 years ago, two people came to me. They had helped in Vacation Bible School. Honestly, I can't remember if they came to me or I came to them first. I've been trying to recall which way it was. But they were willing, that's the main thing, to be involved in a greater capacity. And at the time, I was very pregnant with my first son, and it was just an answer to prayer. All the things that came into place just when they needed to come into place. And a few more years later, they were kind of getting burned out a little bit, and then God said no, told them to stay, and they didn't know, but I was pregnant with my next child. So God has kept them in that place. And Sharon Yore and Susan Mitchell, will you come to the stage? We just want to honor them today. They have been so faithful. Can we just give them a hand? For 6 years now, I mean, that's a long time. 6 years now, they have served every Wednesday night in our preteen class. I've never had to worry about if someone was going to show up in that class. I've never had to worry about if what they were being fed, because I knew that they were feeding them the Word of God. And no one really knows how much of a burden that is lifted off of my shoulders to know that not only were they faithful, but they were faithful where it matters. You know, faithful to make sure that those kids received God's word. Not just, it wasn't babysitting, it wasn't just a fun time, although the kids had fun. And I was in there this past Wednesday night, and they've decided to take a step back a little bit just to get. It's a burnout situation to be 6 years every single night. So they're taking a step back. And so the kids know that. And I was in there Wednesday night. And they're going to fill in some when needed. And they told her, she said, well, I'm going to be here in a few weeks. And they said, that's too long. It's too long to wait to see you. It's too long. They love them so much. The kids love them. They've served the fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. And I just can't even tell you what a blessing that you are to me and what you are a blessing to this church. And when I think about you guys, I think about the verse, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. You know, it says in Romans chapter number 10, it says, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And I think you don't even know the seeds that you guys have planted. You know, you can look at a kid at, you know, in fourth or fifth grade and think, oh, they're just a kid. But I think we won't truly know until heaven the seeds that have been planted and the things that will be reaped from your faithful service for the last 6 years. We're going to miss you on a regular basis, but I'm so thankful that you're willing to help out when needed. But I just love you guys. Can I just thank you so much? Can we give them another hand there? And these beautiful flowers are for you guys, to honor you guys. I hope that when you look at them, you think about how you grew our kids in the faith. You know, not just, I didn't want to get anything that was going to die, but something that you can plant, because you guys have a great green thumb too, but that you can look at these and think about, like, the seeds that you planted and that will continue for years to come. Thank you guys so much for your blessings to us. Let's give them one more hand.
Praise God. Well, maybe you can help fill in too. So pray about it. Before I introduce our speaker this morning, I just want to tell you something in advance. Once we close out today in prayer, we're going to still remain right here, because we will have another guest come and share, some more guests come and share. So we'll end the service as far as it goes and through the live stream, but we will still stay, so don't leave too early. This morning, it gives me a great pleasure to introduce to you our speaker this morning. Harp and Brian Bissett have been here at Carpenter Shop for months now. Brian is enrolled in the school of AG School of Ministry. He's got a heart for evangelism. They drive all the way from Roanoke Rapids. Now that tells me something about them. But it should also tell us something about us. Amen? Welcome with me this morning, Brian Bissett, our evangelist for the day.
Well, praise God. Are you glad to be in the house of God? I want to thank my beautiful wife for coming to support me today. I want to thank my mom and her friend Dean. Most of all, I want to thank Pastor Rollins for giving me this opportunity to minister today. Some of you, you don't know how blessed you are to have that man of God as a pastor of this house. He's a great and powerful man of God. I'm so thankful that I can call him my pastor. I've been all over. I've been in Canada, Louisiana. And you won't never meet anybody like Pastor Rollins. I'm going to tell you something else. You won't never meet anybody like Pastor Mike either. I watch you every Wednesday night. You are a blessing to me. Today I will be continuing the series called Heartstrings, Messages from Songs. This is part 3 of the series. If you have your Bibles, turn it to Psalm chapter 63, verse 1 through 9. I also want to say that this is my first time doing a series. Ever since Monday, also the devil, my throat been sore. Praise God, I woke up today with no sore throat by the grace of God. But today, let me read Psalm chapter 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Lord, I pray, I ask that you will move in this service, Lord. I pray that your will be done in this service. I pray that you will hide me behind the cross, that I won't be seen, but you will be seen. You will be high and lifted up, Lord. I pray that you will move by and through your spirit, Lord. I pray that you will bless my voice to preach the word of God. I pray that my voice will be clear. I pray, Lord, that you will bless the ears to hear the gospel, Lord, not just their physical ears, but their spiritual ears, so they can hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of this message is Wanting God More Than Anything. That's what it's all about, wanting God more than anything. I was saved at 5 or 6 years old, and when the divine nature of God came on the inside of me, when you are saved, the Spirit of God comes on the inside of you. You become hungry for God. I try to do wrong. I try to lie. I try to steal. But the Holy Spirit will convict me because I didn't get the whole of religion, but I got the whole of God at 12 years old. But I did have one problem in my life, and that's being hungry for God. Sometimes I feel sorry for my wife because I can't be the husband that I should be sometimes because all I think about is God. I'm always praying. I'm always preaching underneath my breath. If I walk by you and see me talking to myself, I'm not going crazy. I'm talking to God. But it's all actually the reason I lost my voice this week, because Monday I was so happy about coming to preach Sunday. All I was doing is shouting and praising God. But there was a great preacher. He was great. Oh, let me get back. So at 12 years old, I began to get really frustrated with God. I began to get upset because at this time, I didn't know the Word of God. I didn't know the Bible. So I began to chase after God the wrong way. So I began to try to manipulate God. And I said, Lord, if you do this for me, I will do this for you. That's not how it goes, though. But finally, God did honor my faith at 12 years old because I wanted an experience with God. And that experience, I would take anything he would give me. I want to speak in tongues. I want something, angelic visitation. Anything he would give me, I would take. But on this night, finally, something happened. I was slain under the power of God. And before I was slain under the power of God, I actually rededicated my life to Christ. The seat they were having a revival in Ebony, Virginia, the place was full. And so I went up, I rededicated my life to God. But then I went back up, I was slain under the power of God. I felt a physical wind from heaven. But that night, though, as people were leaving the house of God, as they were trying to get to that vehicle, they was being slain out under the power of God. Nobody was pushing anybody over that night. This was a genuine move of the Spirit of God, not emotionalism, not... This is not a game. See, some people, this is a game. Jesus is a game. But this is not a game that I play. Jesus is everything to me. There was a great preacher. He was great in all his ways. Many people want to be like this great preacher. He had a very successful ministry. Well, he decided, I need a day off. Sometimes preachers need a day off. Pastor Mike, you need a day off. Pastor Miranda, you need a day off. Don't think you are super spiritual and you can just go, go, go. You need a day off. Well, so he said on his off day, he would go fishing at the lake. Well, there was this young preacher who seen him going to the lake. And he began to follow him. I promise you it won't me. But he began to follow this great preacher. And when he got to the lake, he started fishing. Well, this young preacher started asking himself. He said, how can I be like you? I want to look like you. How do you prepare your messages? How can I have a successful ministry like you? Well, this great preacher, he got tired of it. He just threw him in the water. Now, this is a problem because this young boy can't swim. His head began to go up and down. Finally, this great preacher reached over and pulled him out of the water. And this young preacher, he was mad. He said, why did you do this to me? I look up to you. I respected you. Why you throw me in the water? The great preacher said, do you remember that last time when you was underneath that water? Do you remember how bad you wanted your breath? Well, that is how much you are going to want the move of God. You're going to have to want it more than your next breath. You're going to have to want a move of God more than anything. I came to CSIC today to tell you that if you want a move of God, you are going to have to want it more than anything. It won't cost you something in these last days, but it will cost you everything. Dr. Mike Murdoch, there's supposed to be a quote coming up here. Dr. Mike Murdoch said, well, proof of desire is in your pursuit. If you truly want a move of God, you will go after it with everything that you have. You have to pursue God. I can tell you what you want by what you are chasing. Many people are chasing after God the wrong way. But in Psalm 63, the Holy Spirit shows us how to pursue God. You see, there is a right way to pursue God, and there is a wrong way. Some people never truly have a close relationship with God because they don't pursue Him biblically. But today we are going to learn how to pursue God biblically. David was the writer of Psalm 63. He wrote this psalm when he was running for his life. He had people who were trying to kill him. He wrote this when he was in the wilderness of Judah. The wilderness of Judah was a very dry and lonely place. We find that even in the wilderness, David had a heart for God. Even in the wilderness, David wanted God more than anything. Even in the wilderness, he still praised God and had confidence in God. Some of you, you are in a wilderness today. Some of you are going through a wilderness of a dry season. Some of you are in a wilderness of depression. Some of you are in a wilderness of sickness. Praise God, I'm there. I have a speech impediment, but I ain't going to let that stop me. I have been going through a wilderness myself. My throat has been sore since Monday. I am going through a season where my own family is coming against me. They are lying on me. I am not coming up here to complain today, but I am up here to praise God because I know I am coming out and my confidence is in the Lord. Some of you should give God some praise because you are coming out victorious. The key is not to lose your heart for God when you are going through the wilderness. You must keep your faith in God no matter what. Acts chapter 13, verse 21 through 22. And afterwards they desired a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Saul was the first king of Israel, but God rejected him. David was chosen by God because of his heart for God. David was different. There's a difference between David and Saul. David was chosen by God. Saul was chosen by the people. David was a work of the spirit. Saul was a work of the flesh. David was a man after God's own heart. Saul wanted the praise of the people. David's kingship was eternal through Jesus Christ, but Saul's kingship was rejected. David was forgiven to his people. Saul was unforgiven to his people. David was courageous. Saul was fearful. David was at peace with God. Saul was separated from God. Which one of you? Are you a David or are you a Saul? What does it mean to be a man after God's own heart? In the Hebrew, it means little man in the mirror. It means to be a reflection of God, to hear and to follow the very heartbeat of God. David was not just after the hand of God, but he was after the heart of God. You see, when you find the heart of God, that is when you will find the hand of God. We must seek God for who he is and not just for what he can do for us. Many people want signs and wonders, but God wants disciples. We shouldn't just seek the gifts of God, but we should seek the giver. When we find the giver, that's when we find the gifts. God is the giver of those gifts. That is who we should seek. Some people don't like David because he failed God time and time again. But in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, you will find out that it's God who calls David a man after my own heart. God said that, not man. Start focusing on what God says about you, not what people say about you. See, David knew to put his trust in God. He said, even my mom and daddy, they may forsake me, but it's the Lord who takes me in. But I love David. He's one of my most favorite people in the Bible because even when he fell down, he got back up. I came by to tell you, it's not about how many times that you fall down, but how many times you get back up. You may fail the test, but you don't have to fail the course. You may lose the battle, but you don't have to lose the war. I just want to tell you, stop by and tell somebody today, don't give up. Keep on fighting the good fight of faith. Keep on holding on to God's unchanging hand. I know there's somebody in this church that got cancer, but God can heal you. Keep on holding on to God's unchanging hand. My aunt has stage 4 cancer. Me and my wife, I wanted to go to a football game, but we decided to go to a camp meeting. Praise God. I'm glad I have a wife like her. But I wanted to go to the high school football game. I love seeing people going after something with all their heart. And high school football, college football, they go after what they believe in with all their heart. Sometimes you will see tears in their eyes because they want to win the game so bad. They want to make it to the pros. They want a college scholarship. But on this night, my mom, my aunt, she had stage 4 cancer. We went to camp meeting, and a man of God had a word of knowledge on my wife. He said, "The person you are praying for is not even here." My wife was slain in the spirit. Well, after the meeting, I said, "Who are you praying for?" And she said, I was praying for Aunt Penny. I said, "Okay." Well, I just left at that. Well, the very next time my aunt went to the hospital, the cancer was gone. Praise God. We serve a God of miracles. But don't let a religious hypocrite tell you that you are disqualified. Romans chapter 11 verse 29 says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God don't take his gifts away. God is a good God. He doesn't take his gifts away. The gifts of God are the graces of God. When you study different people in the Bible, you study different themes. When you study the life of Jacob, you're studying the great doctrine of sanctification. When you study the life of Abraham, you are studying the doctrine of justification by faith. But when you study the life of David, you are studying the doctrine of grace. And everybody needs grace. Praise God. We call Hebrews 11 the hall of faith, but it should also be called the hall of grace. Because those people, they didn't just have great faith in God and do great things, but those people, you study their lives, they fell deep into sin, but they got back up. If they can get back up and be used by God, you can get back up and be used by God too. David was mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 32. You see, David committed adultery. He killed his own people. He directly disobeyed God, but God forgave him and still used him for his glory. In Psalms 51, David confessed his sin to God and God forgave him. If God forgave David under the old covenant, God can forgive you under the new covenant. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. The King James Version, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9, for by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. We can only be saved by the grace of God. We can only be forgiven by the grace of God. We can only live a victorious life over sin by the grace of God. We can't save ourselves. Religion can't save us. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away our sins. We can only be saved by the name of Jesus. The Bible is clear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. We should never use the grace of God as a license to sin. It's an empowerment to say no to sin. And it's not just about saying no to sin. It's about saying yes to God. But when you say yes to God, that's when you are given the power to say no to sin. The grace of God is God's unmerited favor. Pastor Jimmy Swaggart said the grace of God is the goodness of God given to undeserving people. That lets us know that the grace of God isn't based off of what we have done, but what God sent his son Jesus to do on the cross. I believe that Pastor Jimmy Swaggart is a modern day David. Just last month, I got to hear him preach for the first time. It was on my bucket list. I said, I got to go hear this man preach. I went all the way to Louisiana just to hear him preach. But I believe his life is a testimony that even though you fell down, you can get back up. In the 1980s, he was one of the top evangelists. But praise God, he got back up. Let's get into the text. Psalms chapter 63, verse 1. David said, "Oh God, thou art my God." This doesn't mean that David owned God, but that he had a covenant relationship with God. David was not afraid to let everyone know that he was devoted to the one true God. At this time, Israel, they worshiped many gods. But David was devoted to the one true God, Elohim. You see that woman on the front row? Look at me, baby. I love you. Hello. Am I doing a good job? Okay, thank you. But you see that woman? I am in a covenant relationship with that woman. I just want to make sure people ain't sleeping. Okay, you see that? I am in a covenant relationship with her. Marriage is a covenant relationship. I don't own her. I am not her dictator, but she is my heart. She is my wife. In the same way, David is saying, God is my God. At salvation, we enter into a covenant relationship with God. When you get saved, you become one with God. You are joined to God. When you get married, you become one with your spouse. You are joined with your spouse. Some people try to experience God without entering into a covenant relationship with God, and that is impossible. They want a God that they can control, but we can't control God. However, we can partner with God and operate in his covenant. I couldn't even experience my wife the way I wanted to until after I entered into a covenant relationship with her. And because of immigration, I couldn't even do that. I had to wait almost 3 years before we got to move together. This Friday, she has actually been here one whole year since she moved from Canada. If you want to know the covenant of God, you have to get to know the Word of God. The Bible is the covenant of God. You should be reading the Bible every day. You can only know God to the degree that you know his Word. David goes on to say, early in the morning will I seek thee. This lets us know that David put God first. He made God a priority. Some of you say, I don't have time for God. You have to make time. As soon as we wake up, we should seek the Lord. I have learned if I don't go to the Bible first thing or start praying to God first thing, it won't get done. You need to do it first thing when you wake up. Matthew 7:7, and let me make this point. You seek God by spending time in the Word of God in prayer. But Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. This means to keep on, in the Greek, it means to keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. We should never give up on God. The more we seek him, that is the more we find him. James 4:8, if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me, and ye shall search for me with all your heart. That let us know that we must seek God with all our hearts. We must not get distracted. If we truly want more of God than anything, we will seek him with all our hearts. It didn't say some of our hearts, but all of our hearts. That is the secret to finding God. We shouldn't just let anything stand between us and God. We shouldn't allow any distractions. Pastor Mike, they tell me that 4.2 billion people have social media. The average person spends 2 hours and 25 minutes on social media. People who are 16 to 24 years old, they spend 3 hours a day on social media. I am not saying that social media is evil, but if it's standing between you and your relationship with God, you should get rid of it. It's not worth your soul. It's not worth losing your family. It's not worth losing your relationship with God. When you wake up in the morning time, do you go to social media or do you go to the Word of God? If you truly want God more than anything, you will go to the Word of God. David finished the verse by saying, my soul thirsts for thee, my flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David wanted God just as bad as he wanted water in this dry and thirsty land. Every chance he got, he looked for water. Every chance he got, he also looked for the Lord. As believers, every chance that we get, we should look for the Lord. We just were singing it. Lord, I look to you. I won't be overran. The person that wrote that song, she would say, Lord, I'm overwhelmed. And she was complaining, but God convicted her. She said, say that God said, don't look at the problem, look at the answer. So she began to say, Lord, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Lord, give me vision to see things like you see. I know it don't go like that, but that's why I'm not on the praise team. But we must not go by our feelings. I am sure David didn't feel like seeking God, but he did it anyways. As believers, we should have an attitude to seek God no matter what. We should always be hungry and thirsty for the Lord. When a land is dry and thirsty, it takes in all the water that it gets. As believers, we must not be complacent. We should get all of God that we can. We need to understand that everything that happens to us is either caused by God or allowed by God. I believe that God allowed David to be in this dry and thirsty land, and he was running for his life because God wanted David to be humble. You see, in the dry and thirsty land, that's when you find out how humble you are. There's a difference between pride and humility. Pride tells you how much of God that you have. Humility tells you how much of God you don't have. And see, it's when we recognize how much of God that we don't have that is more hungry we will be for God. You see, God will never allow for you to create a life for yourself where he becomes unnecessary. If you truly want God more than anything, you will be hungry and thirsty for the Lord. Psalms chapter 63, verse 2 says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. We must understand that David lived under the old covenant. In the old covenant, the Spirit of God would come upon people. Under the New Testament, when we are saved, the Spirit of God comes on the inside of us. Under the Old Covenant, the Spirit of God will only mainly come upon the king, the priest, and the prophet. And the Spirit of God will only come for just a brief moment of time. Most of the time, just to prophesy or just do something for God. David looked for God in the sanctuary. However, when he wrote this song, he was not in the sanctuary. He didn't have access to the sanctuary. But even under the old covenant, he realized that you enter into the sanctuary by faith. It was a spiritual concept for David. We should be experiencing everything that the early church experienced in the book of Acts. Every time we walk through these doors, we should be expecting a move of God. We should be expecting angelic visitations. We should expect people to be healed, people to be set free, people to be delivered. You shouldn't come to see a man. You shouldn't come to see me. If you came to see me, I know you're going to be disappointed. But come to see the glory and the power of God. If you truly want God more than anything, you will come to this house to see the glory and the power of God. Psalm chapter 63, verse 3 through 4. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. David could have easily complained to God, but he chose to praise God. David just didn't praise God in his thoughts, but he praised God with his lips and by lifting up his hands. David praised God with everything that he had. Even in the wilderness, David still praised God. We must learn to praise God in the good times and the bad times. Somebody said one time, well, you just hold on, God will give you a reason to praise him. No. When God sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you, he gave you a reason to praise him. He gave you the reason to jump. He gave you a reason to praise him. We can let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise him because he went to the cross and you don't have to go to hell. Praise him because he met for every need on the cross. Not just salvation, but healing, deliverance, anything you need, it's in the cross. I'm driving a new Honda 2002, Honda Accord. The car costs more than what I make career. You know why? Because I don't depend on my bank account, I depend on God. And I know that my God will make career. Because prosperity, whether you like it or not, it's in the cross. It's not, I might make some people mad. It's not in sowing $1,000 seed. It's in the cross. Now, God tells you to sow $1,000 seed. I pray that he tells you to give it to me. I will take it. But you can do it in obedience to God, not because you're trying to get something. You notice David was humble. He didn't brag about his great love for God. But he said that God's love is greater than life. See, God's love is greater than life. I actually tried this on my wife. I went up to her. I just looked her in the eyes. I said, "Well, love is greater than life. I don't love you because of what you do for me, but because I love you. I love you for who you are." And her face just lit up when I said it. I said it better than that. I was romantic. I had my game that day. But I don't got it. I don't got it today, though. But her face lit up, though. And she gave me a big kiss. I didn't even have to beg for it. But I just told her, "Lord, well, love is greater than life. I love you not for what you do for me, but for who you are." That's how we should be for God. Don't love him because you want him to do something for you, but just know that his love for you is greater than life. And I believe that God loves it when we talk about his love. But sometimes we get prideful and we want to talk about our love for God. But it's really about his love. I could get anything I wanted for my grandma. Most of the only grandkids, they will tell you that I was the favorite grandchild. But one of the reasons why, because I didn't go to my grandma because I needed something. I went to her just to spend time with her. Even when she would go to sleep at night, I would just lay down at her feet. I just wanted to hear her breathe. I just wanted to hear her snore. I just want to spend time with her. She would be asleep in the bed. I just would go in there. She would be on the bed. I would be on the floor. And I just wanted to be in her presence. That's how we should be with God. Just wanting to be in his presence. Just wanting to hear his heartbeat. Just wanting to hear him snore. Just to hear his voice. Not because we want something, but just because we want to spend time in his presence. If you truly want God more than anything, you will praise him in the good times and the bad. If you truly want God more than anything, you will realize that his love is greater than life. Verse 5, Psalm chapter 63, verse 5. We're almost done, so don't go anywhere. "My soul shall be satisfied and with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." David is saying that God satisfied him with more than his most favorite meal. The things of this life, it will not satisfy you. A one-night stand will not satisfy you. I didn't need the things of this life. I went 29 years and never been with a woman. I didn't need it. I was satisfied with Jesus. He was enough for me. You're also looking at a man who had never smoked, never drank, never been on the inside of the club. Because I am fully satisfied with Jesus. I know some of you may have done those things. But praise God, you can be fully satisfied with Jesus and you won't never do it again. You ask him in your heart, the Holy Spirit will come on the inside of you and will fill you up. And he will satisfy you. If you truly want God more than anything, you will be fully satisfied with him. Psalm chapter 63, verse 6. "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." David couldn't stop thinking about God, even when he went to sleep. This is the secret to victory. And Pastor Miranda was just talking about fear a while ago. And many times I believe in four enemies. We face fear, unbelief, worry, and doubt. We all face those four things. They are enemies to faith. But this is the secret, though. We need to meditate on the word of God at night. David could have easily let fear control him, but he chose to meditate on the word of God. The problem is we get lost in the wrong things. We need to get lost in the presence of God. If you truly want God more than anything, he will be the first thing on your mind when you wake up. You will spend time with him all throughout the day, and he will be the last thing on your mind when you go to bed. Psalms chapter 63, verse 7, because thou hast helped me, thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Some people believe that when he wrote this, he was reading Psalms chapter 91, which was written by Moses, I think, about 400 years before he wrote this song, before David wrote this song. But many of you seen that during the pandemic, people was claiming Psalms chapter 91. It's a psalm of protection. But the problem is we have people claiming that verse who was not even in a covenant relationship with God. But in order to make that claim, you have to be in the covenant relationship with God. Wherever you need, healing, deliverance, wherever, prosperity, wherever you need, you have to be in a covenant relationship with God to be able to get those things. Psalms chapter 63, verse 8, my soul follow hard after thee, shall right hand uphold me. This lets us know that David was going to follow after God no matter what. David was glued to God. It didn't matter if God was going to deliver him or not. He was still going to follow the Lord. His faith was still going to be in the Lord even if he died in the wilderness. Verse 9, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. That is what happened. God delivered David. If God delivered David, he can deliver you. This is why it is important to keep your trust in God no matter what. We have to want God more than anything. Always remember that Jesus is your victory. The praise team, you can come up. Now I'm going to have two altar calls. Number one is salvation. How many know that salvation is the greatest gift of all? I just want to know, is anybody in here you want to know Jesus? You want a relationship with Jesus? Maybe it's a rededication. You see, no sin is going to enter heaven. No sin is going to enter heaven. If you have sin in your life, unconfessed or unrepentant sin in your life, let's get it under the blood today. Let's get it under the blood today. So if you are here today, you don't know Jesus, please raise up your hand, and you want to know him, okay? So also, I know this is online, so I'm going to say a prayer for salvation because there's people watching online. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you, we are sorry for our sins. We are sorry for the way that we have lived, Lord. Lord, I know that I have sinned against you. Lord, I ask you for forgiveness. I ask that you will come into my heart. Lord, my faith is in you and the finished work that you did at the cross. Lord, please wash away all of my sins. Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God and that you have been raised from the dead. In Jesus' name, amen. The second altar call is, I'm going to do an altar call for people who want more of God. So what the praise team going to do, they're going to do a song or two as God leads them. And I just want people to come to the altar and just cry out to God. And just open up to God and let him have his way in your life. So you can just come up and begin playing when you want to.
Thank you.
Youth that's going to close us out. Who's coming? Here she comes.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we praise you and thank you for all that you've done for us and letting us worship here together with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and protection, and thank you for your son who died on the cross for us. And Heavenly Father, please let all of us leave here today filled with your word and the Holy Spirit in our hearts and your word in our hearts. And Heavenly Father, help all of us to not be afraid to pursue your word and follow you and serve you today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory. Aren't you glad God's raising up a mighty army here? Amen. Good gracious. Thank you, Brian. I'm proud of you. Everybody here is. God sent us a jewel, hadn't he? Okay. And for the next few minutes, I want to introduce a couple to you who do what we call live dead.